the 999999. Remember.
Nein, danke.
Radio. Completely kaput.
Kaput.
Radio. Completely.
We cannot just be a profitable company.
Crucial to the future of our democracy that we have this space. We've just opened up this space and we are beginning.
The activists here say they've made their mark and they are proud to be part of the global protest movement.
Occupy Wall Street movement enters its second month today.
But the challenge really is that it's not only a battle of words and messaging, it's also a battle of images.
What we can't see really on television is the mood. So can you help us capture that?
It certainly is very difficult to get the media to cover something when there are no identifiable leaders and platforms.
You know what this movement needs? They need to kind of clarify. They need policy issues. This is what we want.
Where's the authority voice? How do you choreograph it?
What exactly is everybody complaining about?
Who sits on the panel?
What do these people want?
Who's in charge here?
Nobody is.
And the police used excessive force when they broke up the Occupy Sydney protest in Martin Place this morning.
Forcibly disbanded, but our movement is going to cohere.
We have the news that you need here today.
Driven bruised, members of the Occupy Melbourne group are refusing to give up after last Friday's heated clashes with police.
I believe I've been waiting for this for
about
5 years. We don't want to simply be kicked around.
This is not some kind of musical contest
anymore.
This isn't Save the Whales. This isn't Save the Dolphins. This is Save the World. This is everybody.
First of all, I think we should look at the fiscal.
Oh, God, I'm bored.
Yes, we know, it is hard to understand.
Ghosts in the machine.
One day they'll have secrets.
One day they'll have dreams.
City boys and city talk. You know what? It's all just playing shop, really. But with our money. The trouble is the stakes are very high. I only need someone in Tokyo to have a bad hair day and your pension fund is up the swanny. Not that city boys will be much worried by that. One of them got a £10 million bonus last year. No, we're not bitter.
So goodbye to lengthy upgrades and service calls. An uplink to USR's central computer provides this state-of-the-art robot with new programs daily. The Nestor Class 5 is tomorrow's robot today.
Because there's a new kid on the block if you really want to make potting shed loads of money. Hedge funds.
I have absolutely no idea what that means. Not seriously, not a clue. Hedge fund. It sounds like someone's hiding money in a hedge for a rainy day.
I don't know what a hedge fund is. I don't know. It's got nothing to do with my garden. I don't care.
By the term hedge fund, I assume that they hedge their bets using our funds.
Do you have managers of hedge funds?
I know that people who've got hedge funds or manage hedge funds are very rich. That, I'm pretty confident of that.
I mean, I think celebrities are rich, you know. I think Madonna is obviously fantastically rich, but I would imagine there's hedge fund managers that could eat Madonna for breakfast.
Any investment that they view as a potential moneymaker, they can jump on and ride that like a surfer riding the wave. And they try to get off at the crest, the peak moment, and take all their profits. That's a hedge fund.
You might need a breather now. Something nice and restful like a dot-to-dot puzzle or some colouring in.
Occupy. Last week, I successfully occupied NIMFM's best computer for a few hours and researched the Occupy events around the world. There is a peculiar historical precedent to today's demands. Did you know that President Reagan was the first human expressing today's protesters' sentiment about the financial institutions of the world? He said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this Wall Street." Anyhow, my advice, don't ask for jobs. Demand careers. Only a career can give you lasting economic relief. Thinking up careers is difficult, but not impossible, especially in the field of science. Studies show that by 2014, scientists will merge successfully with mice. thereby involving themselves with intimate biological, psychological, and intellectual mice-human relationship issues. They will live with the mice in cages, having funny theme park-like contraptions to play with all day and night. A legal push for mice rights to be equal to human rights may come up for governments around the world. Then, of course, the gate is open for further incursions, causing more transhuman problems. Meanwhile, the mice say, with this new merger, they can get a deeper insight into the crazy human race and will commence emergency measures, such as jumping planet when the time comes. If they don't understand their own finance system, we still can make fun of it by just telling the truth as it is. Too bizarre sometimes.
Thank you very much for your time tonight.
It's my great pleasure to be with you. Good evening.
Now, you're an economist working in the banking sector, yeah?
I am. Should I get a lawyer? I think I'm entitled to legal representation if we can discuss my work.
No, this is just a few simple questions.
Simple questions? Yeah. How simple?
Well, they're theoretical.
Theoretical. Okay, we can deal with that. Yeah. I mean, don't hold me to the answers, but...
Why not?
Well, because I'm an economist and I can think of a different set of circumstances under which my responses might vary somewhat.
And everything's connected to everything else, isn't it?
In economics, I'm afraid that is the global fear right at the moment, yeah.
Now, right, there's a lot of uncertainty in world economics, isn't
there? There is a great deal of uncertainty and a lack of confidence.
Yes. Yeah, and there's a lot of talk of quantitative easing.
That's a term you hear a lot at the moment, yes.
Yeah, what exactly is quantitative easing?
Well, I can answer this because actually we're advising a couple of governments about this right at the moment.
And what are you saying to them?
Perhaps I should just take you through what we're telling them to do.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I won't go into a lot of detail.
No, that's
good. Indiscreet, but this will give you an idea of how quantitative easing works.
Yep.
Take printer out of box and place on table with the out tray facing the window.
The out tray facing the window.
That's right. Load paper into the paper receptacle and place currency on glass tray F.
Right.
Check alignment by printing out a test page.
Right.
Go into copy settings and select double-sided and the number of copies you require.
How many would you suggest?
In the case of one of our clients, it's 80 billion, 120 billion in the case of another client, and one client wants a trillion of these things.
Can you get printers to do that?
No, you can't. You're going to need a bank of them. I mean, it's a multi-printer job.
You need some big ones,
yeah, big industrial strength.
Yeah.
Big, like a Bofors gun, all facing the window.
Yeah.
Once you've ascertained that you have the alignment correct, you alert the banking sector, open the window, and press copy.
And stand well back.
Yes, you've got to stand well back because they can create a bit of a vacuum while reaching cruising height.
Whereabouts?
In the superfund industry very often.
And you'd have to consider the wind direction too.
You don't want to be doing this upwind.
No, because you'd get covered in pretend money, couldn't you?
Covered in what?
Pretend money.
No, this is not pretend money. This is real currency we're creating.
But aren't you just printing it off? I mean, these are photocopies, aren't they?
Excuse me. Dave, this is not going to work. Because I've just explained it to a bloke and he saw through it straight away. Are you in banking?
No.
No, he's not even in the banking racket. Okay, I'll try that.
Try what?
Have you ever heard of Rumpelstiltskin?
No.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere. Pull up a chair. I'll tell you a tale.
If you, as a financial guru, think it's hard to see any light at the end of the tunnel, you may want to turn around because you're probably in a cave and there will be a dead end. And most things are dead at the end, aren't they? When politics are bad, the best short-term remedy is ridicule.
There's a bold plan. Economy is on life support. It is a mess with a 9%, a 9%, and a 9%. Those three planning for survival. The 999 plan. But the 999 plan, I would come back and have a chat with you anytime. Thank you, sir.
999.
The 999 plan. You take the 999 plan and you turn it upside down.
Number 999.
Nine Dunker.
This is Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain. And I want to clear up some misconceptions about my 999 plan for America. People keep coming up to me saying it's a revision of the tax code, and that's not what it is at all. Simply, my 999 plan for America is two large pepperoni pizzas for $9.99. And what this does, it gets rid of the two-for-one pizza deals, it gets rid of the one large for the price of a medium deals, and it gets rid of the bogus free toppings deal. It's simply $9.99, and it treats all pizza-buying households the same. What are you waiting on? Get on the Kane train.
Herman Cain.
Pizza Man wants you to pay 999.
Well, what's that mean?
9% flat income tax with no deductions for your kids. Do the math. No medical deductions. No deductions of any kind. 9% tax on corporations? They used to pay 35%. 9% national sales tax on top of your local sales tax. $20,000 car cost $1,800 more. Herman Cain wants to cut your taxes. If you're rich, raise your taxes. If you're poor, no corporate loopholes, because they won't need any. But no deductions for the middle class. The rich get richer. Everyone else gets 999. Herman Cain, GOP frontrunner with a plan. 999. Hit the subscribe button. You know you want to.
I'm here at an undisclosed, unreportable, and unbelievable location somewhere in the sand dunes of Libya. After a week of preserving his dead body with methods of deep freeze, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi is about to be buried. There are quite a number of foreign personalities visiting the ceremony. Over there, I can see Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, and also George Bush. Over here, Bill and Hillary Clinton. And in the background, I can see Tony Blair, Gordon Brown, and even David Cameron. Behind them, John Howard. On the other side, here we have Nicolas Sarkozy, Silvio Berlusconi, including 200 Bunga Bunga girls. And further to the right is Queen Elizabeth, Angela Merkel, and Vladimir Putin. But also we find Beyonce, Michael Jackson, he's already gone, but hell, there's half of the celebrity world assembled here. Too many to name them all. Now, the last sermon finished, and slowly the assembly dissolves. Oh, what a proud group of friends Muammar Gaddafi had, and all his guests at the funeral are feeling a great relief now that he can't talk about them anymore. As for me, it was a delight to witness Gaddafi's funeral. This is KR reporting from undisclosed, undetectable, and underrated sand dune in Libya.
Order. The result of the division is I-74, No-72. The question is therefore resolved in the affirmative. These bills, as amended, have been agreed to. Yeah. Order.
Thanks for coming in tonight.
It's a great pleasure to be here, and good evening.
You must have been excited this week.
We have been a bit excited this week. It has been a big week, yes.
Yeah, Carbon Tax the movie.
Yeah, the launch was just an enormous success.
It went well.
It went fabulously. Yeah, nearly everyone was
there. Everyone was there.
Well, nearly everyone was there. I mean,
It looked as if they were swinging from the rafters.
Yes, we're going to have a word with a couple of them.
I mean, it seemed very crowded, is what I'm saying.
I see. Take your point. Yes. Well, it was very crowded.
And it went well, though.
Oh, yeah, it was a huge success.
You said nearly everyone was there. Was somebody missing?
Well, Sophie Mirabella wasn't there, unfortunately.
Oh, she plays the headmistress, doesn't she?
No, that's Julie Bishop.
Oh, that's right. Sophie plays the neighbour with the coal shutter.
That's right, who complains about the noise and so on. Yeah, well, and she's great in the film.
She is.
Just fantastic.
Yeah. Why wasn't she at the opening?
Oh, some problem with her foot.
A foot?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Oh, I don't think they found the weapon.
But a firearm
or something. Some small arms fire was apparently heard. And
yeah, no appearance, Your Worship.
No appearance, Your Worship.
Yeah, now, look, I believe in the film version they've upped the romance element.
Well,
is that right?
They have slightly. I don't know whether you're familiar with the book.
Oh, I
do. Yeah,
loved
well,
it.
If you're...
Loved it.
You know the character Julia?
Yeah.
In the book?
Yeah.
Well, in the book, I don't know whether you remember, but she's having a fight with her ex-boss.
This is the Troy Donahue
The type. One who looks a bit like Troy... Yeah, the character's name's Kevin.
Kevin,
Yeah,
is
Kevin.
It?
So right, she's having a fight with... Well,
Don't tell me they got back together.
Did they get back together?
Oh, no.
They kiss.
Oh, they don't.
They kiss in front of everybody. Oh, I mean, everybody sees this.
Oh, my God.
It's quite fantastic. I mean, it's in all the papers.
This will go platinum.
It will. And it's in all the papers. It's quite a fantastic moment. They get this carbon tax through. The lights dim. A bit of soft music and woof.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's brilliant. Oh, no, you'll love it.
They kiss.
Yeah, they kiss.
Did Tony see this?
Well, here's the thing. Tony's standing about there. He can hardly miss it. I mean, they're doing it in front of him. It literally happens before his eyes.
Shut the front door.
It's going to be bigger than Texas.
Oh, poor Tony. He must have been devastated.
Well, you know that sort of overjoyed look he does sometimes?
Yeah, around the midriff.
Yeah, none of that.
Oh,
no,
right.
Nothing of that.
So what happens next?
Well, I don't know. I haven't read the next book. Have you read the next book? I've got no idea what happens next.
Maybe we should go and tweet or something.
You better go on Twitter.
Twitter.
We'll be back in a minute.
It seems such a pity that the clear scientific fact of climate change is seldom expressed by people who don't seem at least a little bit pleased by it. Similarly, sorting it out is always presented as an opportunity or a pleasure, or as something we ought to have been doing for years anyway. In fact, it's just a thing, a really depressing thing that's happening, but the people who tell us so always seem to be radiating one or both of those old parental standbys, I warned you this would happen. There are also often slight undertones of disparagement about industrial pioneers and the human urge to innovate in general, as if poor old George Stevenson should have known perfectly well that when he got that kettle to travel along rails, it would lead inexorably to planetary jeopardy. Well, take that to its logical conclusion, and you're labelling the first caveman who ever fashioned an axe as a cross between Dr. Oppenheimer and BP. This is all grist to the mill of the Clarksons of the world, because it means environmentalists present sorting your recycling as fun, and he presents driving to the North Pole in a 4x4 while drinking gin as fun, and he obviously wins. His is far more fun, because ours isn't fun at all. His is grotesquely irresponsible, but like almost everything else that's grotesquely irresponsible, it's enormous fun. I want to see a global warming expert acknowledge that burning oil and the various machines we've invented that burn oil is brilliant. And it's a real pisser we can't do it anymore, but we can't because of facts. I'm sure that's how many of them must secretly feel. It's certainly how I feel. I'm as big a fan of fossil fuel-burning, big, fast metal things as the next man, and I do mean man. But I just can't persuade myself that climate change isn't happening. I wish I could. I'd really like someone to convince me it's not. But no one has, because it is. It's like astrology. Given the choice, I'd like astrology to be true, because it would make deciding what to do easier and give me something to blame when things go wrong. I lost my job because Orion was waning while Scorpio was in Venus's ascent. I mean, demonstrably, I don't know the bullshit jargon. Not because I was too stupid to get my head round spreadsheets. But it isn't true. Life would be a lot easier if astrology was true and climate change wasn't. But bugger it all, it turns out it's the other way round. So let's grimly do our recycling and not use planes as much and sign whatever the next version of the Copenhagen Treaty is, not because any of that stuff is fun or cool or exciting or an opportunity, but because we have to. The alternative attitude is no more convincing than it was when Mum said, "Why don't you kids have a race to see who can tidy their rooms fastest?" We didn't fall for it then, and we don't fall for it now. But we still have to do it because it is our room, stroke planet. We did mess it up, stroke pump its atmosphere full of CO2, and if we don't do something about it, there won't be any pudding, stroke Maldives.
In future news, with the first of a series of satellite launches, the European GPS is underway. The new GPS is not only independent of the military, but will enable modern transport solutions such as remote-controlled trains, ships and planes. With the abolishment of drivers, a pilot's human error can be eliminated, thereby greatly improving transport safety. In 2015, Europeans and some Asian nations will also abolish the car or truck driver, now made possible with a new GPS. A massive psychological trauma will be expected, but after a short period, everyone will say, "Why didn't we do this years ago?"
Lord Kang, the conquest of the 21st century has begun.
I want to go to a trade war. I want to beat China. I want to go to war with China.
I have come from your future to deliver a message to Captain America.
This week, we had two powerful reminders.
Political assassination.
To put it into a phrase, efficiency, sustainability, and preservation.
are the enemies of our economic system.
Crime and terrorism in this system are good. Well, at least economically, for it is employing police, generating high-value commodities for security, not to mention the value of prisons that are privately owned for profit. And how about war? The war industry in America is a huge driver of GDP, one of the most profitable industries.
This week, we had two powerful reminders of how we've renewed American leadership in the world. Over the past decade, we spent $1 trillion on war, rebuilding our economy and renewing our strength at home. We have to tackle this challenge with the same urgency and the same unity that our troops brought to their fight. And that's why I hope all of us can draw strength from the example of our men and women in uniform. They've met their responsibilities to America. It's time to come together and show the world why the United States of America remains the greatest source of freedom and opportunity that the world has ever known.
So goodbye to lengthy upgrades and service calls. An uplink to USR Central Computer provides this state-of-the-art robot with new programs daily. The Nestor Class 5 is tomorrow's robot today.
Lehman Brothers officially declared bankruptcy at 2 a.m. There was widespread fear that could trigger a chain reaction that would take down the world banking system. At the New York Federal Reserve, then-President Tim Geithner told his staff to prepare for the crash landing of Lehman. He told them to put foam on the runway.
The problem is they didn't put nearly enough foam on the runway, and there were all sorts of unintended consequences. The ripples that they anticipated turned out to be a tsunami.
The tsunami unleashed by the crash of Lehman Brothers would sweep around the globe, destroying millions of jobs and wiping out the economic future of entire countries. Protests rocked world capitals. From Reykjavik to Beijing to London.
The free market, capitalist, monetary market system, whatever you want to call it, has done nothing but ride the wave of these advents with a distorted incentive system and a haphazard, grossly unequal method of utilizing and distributing those fruits. The second defense is a belligerent social bias generated from years of propaganda, which sees any other social system as a route to so-called tyranny, with various name droppings of Stalin, Mao, Hitler, and the death tolls they generated. Well, as despotic as these men might have been, along with the societal approaches they perpetuated, when it comes to the game of death, when it comes to the systematic daily mass murder of human beings, nothing in history compares to what we have today.
Famines throughout at least the last century of our history have not been caused by a lack of food. They've been caused by relative poverty. The economic resources were so inequitably distributed that the poor simply didn't have enough money with which to buy the food that would have been available if they could have afforded to pay for it. That would be an example of structural violence. Another example, in Africa and some other areas, well, I'll particularly focus on Africa, tens of millions of people are dying of AIDS. Why are they dying? It's not because we don't know how to treat AIDS. We have, you know, millions of people in the wealthy countries are getting along remarkably well because they have the medicines that will treat it. The people in Africa who are dying of AIDS are not dying because of the HIV virus. They're dying because they don't have the money with which to pay for the drugs that would keep them alive. Gandhi saw this. He said the deadliest form of violence is poverty. And that's absolutely right. Poverty kills far more people than all the wars in history, more people than all the murderers in history, more than all the suicides in history. Not only does structural violence kill more people than all the behavioral violence put together, structural violence is also the main cause of behavioral violence.
In the next few years, China and India are expected to take over some of the top spots among the world's leading economies, which only increases the worry about financial meltdowns starting there.
If we're a
affected by a slowdown in the United States, if we're affected by a slowdown in Europe, what's going to happen? When the two economies, 2.5 billion people, China and India, when there's a slowdown there, what's going to happen when a hedge fund fails in India? What's going to happen when there's a mortgage meltdown in China? The effect on the rest of us is going to be enormous. Then we are going to be in a mess that's going to make today look like a picnic.
History has taught world leaders that major economic crises like the Great Depression go on for years. Just when you think it's over, along comes another relapse. Even though the causes of the 2008 meltdown are now clear, there is no magic formula to stop it from happening again. The world has to start planning for the next crisis, even as we recognize that this one is not over yet.
And like a virus, this disorder now permeates every facet of government, news media, entertainment, and even academia. And built into its structure are mechanisms of protection from anything that might interfere. Disciples of the monetary market religion, the self-appointed guardians of the status quo, constantly seek out ways to avoid any form of thought which might interfere with their beliefs, the most common of which are projected dualities. If you are not a Republican, you must be a Democrat. If you are not a Christian, you might be a Satanist. And if you feel society can be greatly improved to consider perhaps, I don't know, taking care of everyone, you're just a utopianist. And the most insidious of them all, if you are not for the free market, you must be against freedom itself.
You are listening to
Radio. You can check all the web details at kaputradio.libsyn.com.